We give you praise.
Thank you, because as we go into your word, indeed your name and your word will take preeminence. Thank you, because we're here, and we'll do, and indeed we'll please you. We'll please us of God and not of men, in Jesus' name. Heavenly King of glory, let your name be magnified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. In James chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 11. I just want to use that to kick off. It says there that, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. We have heard the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. It says, you've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. And that end is that the Lord is very compassionate and he is merciful. Amen. You have seen the end intended by God through the perseverance of Job. Hallelujah. Which you have heard. Amen. And remember that Romans 15 verse 4 says that all the things that were written before, they were written for our learning. Okay? So that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Amen. And then James 5:11 tells us that the fact that we have heard, okay, and we have also read of the perseverance of Job, and then we saw the end intended by God, that God himself, what? That the Lord is very compassionate and is very merciful. Amen. So these things wouldn't have been if not for the fact that they were written, and then even though they were written, we also read them. Hallelujah. And from there, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, we can draw hope. Amen. So whatever you and I are relying upon, okay, is through the things that we have read in the scriptures and the things that we have seen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you one thing this evening. Okay, so understanding who you are created to be, for the sake of the tape ministry, understanding who you are created to be. Okay, so I said, James in James 5:11 tells us of the fact of the that from the perseverance of Job, we see the end that God intended. And I also say to you one thing, and I think I've said it before, that no man has seen himself before. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you seen yourself before? Have you seen yourself before? In the mirror. Okay. So no man has seen himself before. The way you see me, I can't see myself the way you see me. Okay? Even if I stand before the mirror, I will not see what you are seeing. Hallelujah. So every man, what every man has been able to do, or man generally has been able to do, is to see an image of himself. Okay? But God sees us in our entirety and sees us as a whole. Every other person sees us for exactly what we look like. Hallelujah. So we have an idea of what we look like. Well, people will tell you that this is what you look like. And that's why oftentimes people find validation and say, am I properly dressed? You can't see your back. Even if you look at the mirror, you have to have a very good three-dimension imagination that to be able to understand what the mirror is showing you. So you know, when I was growing up, when we go to the barber's house, those barbers of those days, they used to have mirror in front and mirror at the back. And you know what? How many images will you see? If you see mirror in front and mirror at the back, how many images? It is infinitesimal. Because when you're right, it's more than so, you can't number it. Because what happens is that this first mirror creates an image, and then the mirror at the back will create an image of that mirror. Okay? And then, because it's a mirror also, it will create an image of the image that this one is speaking. And those images get being created and created. And so you keep looking, and you keep looking and looking and looking and say, how many of my head am I seeing in this mirror? Okay? But if you concentrate, okay, you keep your gaze between the first two mirrors, you'll be able to see what you want to see. Sometimes you want to see the back of your head, how it has been shaped. But for us that used to go to the barber's house and we just cut low, there's nothing to see. It's whatever they cut that they have cut. You know, some people will do... They say, this one has go like this. Punk, Bob Marley, have you heard that one? That one that will go high like this. And people will have different styles. Some people do fade out, so they want to look at the back. But some of them just go, just look out. The way it is, all around. You have no problem. Those are the people that don't have problem in the barber's house. Okay? Now, that's the image that you have. And so, if you can't see here, somebody else sees the middle of your head. Except you bend. And when you are bending, of course, you are straining your eyes to be able to see. And thank God for technology. Thank God for the phones that we have now. If you want to see, all you need to do is take a reverse picture using your camera, and then you can see what you look. But then what I'm saying is that nobody has ever seen himself. Hallelujah. Except his own image. So if anybody wants to argue, let him come and argue, because you can't see your back. Hallelujah. But I can see your back. Amen. Hallelujah. And the x-ray of ourselves that the scripture gives us is a very good account of what we are and who we are. Hallelujah. And how God sees us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm thinking even verse 18, the TPT, it says, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I take it again. It says we can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And the glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Amen. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, the TPT. I'm going to read the same in the new NKJV. And it says here, it says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. So he says that the image you see, okay, contrary to what we do normally, okay, so what you do normally is that when you see your image in the mirror, okay, you use that image, and then you decide to what? Adjust, okay? To look, to have a better image of yourself. Now, this is telling us that this is the reverse. It says that we, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. Hallelujah. So when we look into that mirror and we see the glory of God, what happens is that we are being transformed into the glory or into the image of God that we are seeing. Hallelujah. That's the beauty and the beauty of the scriptures. Amen. So it will be very, very out of place that you dig, you study the word of God, you hear the word of God, and say you do the word of God, and the image that people are seeing are not the image as described by the word of God about who you are supposed to be. Amen. Remember in the book of Timothy, the Bible says that Paul admonished him and said, be thou an example to the believers. Amen. Hallelujah. Be thou an example to the believers. So we go to 1 John chapter 4. First John 1. We'll come back to 4. So in the Passion Translation, TPT, it says from verse 1, and this is John and his writing and testifying, it says, we saw him with our very own eyes. We gazed upon him and heard him speak. Our hands actually touched him. The one who was from the beginning, the living expression of God, this life giver was made visible and we have seen him. We testify to this truth. The eternal life giver lived face to face with the Father and has now dawned upon us. So we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard about this life giver, so that we may share and enjoy this life together. He says, for truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus, the anointed ones. He says, we are writing these things to you because we want to release to you our fullness of joy. Amen. So he's saying that, look, it's very straightforward that we saw him, okay? And with our own very eyes, we gazed upon him, we heard him speak. This is a life, like a life or a life witness, so to say, that we saw him, okay? And we heard him speak. We saw him do the things he did, hallelujah. And we are so joyous, okay? And we are so joyous to express what we saw, telling us that this was the living expression of God himself. So whatever they saw, okay, whatever they saw in Christ was what they were being transformed into. Hallelujah. In verse 5, it says, this is the life-giving message. We heard him share and it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words to you. God is pure light. You will never find even a trace of darkness in him. He says, if we claim, and this is where I'm going, he says, if we claim that we share life with him, but we keep walking in the realm of darkness, we are fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if we keep living in pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, continually cleanses all from all sins. Hallelujah. Amen. So he's saying that you can't claim that you've seen him. He says, but if you keep living, verse 6. He says, if we claim we share life with him and keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. Okay? We're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. Don't forget, I said, we're talking about understanding who you are or getting a glimpse of who you are. Hallelujah. And I've said that number one thing, illustration I made today was that you cannot, nobody has seen himself life. Hallelujah. Amen. Even if they create any technology, you can't see yourself life. Hallelujah. Because whatever technology does is artificial. Abi? Amen. So even when you record and you see yourself, the only thing you see that looks to you seeing yourself is your outline, which is from your shadow. Amen. So sometimes I just, when I'm trying to look for myself in any video, I just look for the shape of my head because I know it. Hallelujah. Amen. I just say, where is this my head? This big thing, where is it? And then I see it and I pick it out. I say, okay. Or sometimes, because sometimes I don't know the way I walk. Except I go and watch a video. And I'm not ever going to study the way I walk. It's someone that will go and say, this boy, you're walking like your father. I don't know. I'm just walking. Hallelujah. Amen. So, but I know the shape of my head. How did I know the shape of my head? Because, those people that grew up with a silver spoon, they can't know the shape of their head because they don't see shadows. Abi? So when we're growing up, when there is no power, when there's power outage, and then there's candlelight, you stand before the candlelight, or you stand in front of it, and then you see your shadow, and then you'll be dancing. That's how I got to know what my head looked like or what my shape looked like. And then you stand by the side, and then you try to draw yourself. You know all those funny, strange things that children do? And so sometimes we are just waiting for there to be a power outage. And then you know that there's something new to be done. It's not that somebody say, there's no power, and everybody's sad. When there was no power then, it's either you go outside when it's dark, around this time. It's time to cook, okay? I remember we had two bungalows in the compound. So in the middle, we would have firewood cooking in the evening. And then there was this particular lady that had a very bad sore on her leg. And so every night, I don't know where they got that medication from. Every night, when the firewood is on, there's one speck in the fire that is whitish that the parents pick and they use it to treat the sore. And it has to be that right one. So until the fire is very hot, okay, and then it's bringing out that speck, they pick it out and then they put it on the sore. So every evening, we are always waiting that it will soon be time. Even if you have gas at home, everybody will come outside because of that woman or that lady. And then everybody cooks, okay? So sometimes you wait for that, or sometimes you just wait for there to be an outage. You know that everybody is going to come outside. And then this one, they say, go and sleep, go and sleep. Everybody comes outside, and then you are beginning to do whatever you're going to do, okay? So I'm saying that you need to understand what you are created to be. And I've said so many things, but don't get carried away with my illustrations. They're supposed to help you remember these things. Amen. Okay, so I just told you that I understand who I am because I've decided to stand, or the shape of my, because I decided to stand before a candle light. Look at what the shadow it casts on the wall. Sometimes we know, and that's like that if you move away, the shadow becomes what? Smaller. This to be to use candle. And then when you move closer, it becomes bigger. And then, you know, little children, then you be doing competition. I'm bigger than you, I'm smaller than you. I'm like, and then when I grew up, I'm like, oh my God, how did you end up having those kind of games? I'm bigger than you, I'm smaller than you. Amen. Hallelujah. So First John is saying, he says that if we claim that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we are fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken relationship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us. Amen. So let's remember 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Now we're really going to spend a long time here. It says from verse 1, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Hallelujah. So if you want to begin to understand who you are, and then you come to Colossians 3, verse 1, it says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Amen. And it says, this is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ is, enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Amen. So it says that his resurrection is your resurrection. So if you don't know that his resurrection is a resurrection, you are never going to be able to explore, okay? And exploit won't be the right word. Is it the right word? You are going to explore it and then take advantage of what you have in that resurrection that belongs to you as well. It says that is your resurrection too. And it says that is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned, at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Amen. So if you are looking for all power, honor, and authority, it's not too far-fetched. Amen. You have it. Amen. It's just that you are not looking in the right place. I said before that Job saw, he said that he persevered, and he made us see the end that the Lord intended. Amen. Now, in the book of Colossians, he's saying that our resurrection is the resurrection of Christ is our resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, verse 2. It says, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, your crucifixion with Christ has severed your tie. You have severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. Amen. That's why you see people that understand this, and I've come across this message that before you get to me, you need to get to Christ. Because he's saying here that your life is hidden in God, in Christ. Hallelujah. So that to get to you, okay, you know those, did you ever see those mummies when you were young? That there's a big mummy, and then when you open it, you see a small mummy, and then you open that small mummy, you see another small mummy. I'm too old for you people. You didn't see that mummy. So is like those, what do you call those things that you put on the shelf at home? Is it artifact or whatever, or souvenirs? Okay? So it's like an Egyptian mummy. It's big. And the outer one is the biggest of them all. Very big. Okay? So when you open it, you will see that when you open it and put the head of that mummy down, you see that there is another mummy. So you bring out that mummy. Oh, this man doesn't know what a mummy is. Okay, so mummies is the way Egyptians call their dead bodies. So they don't call them dead bodies. Okay, so they will, the way they wrap them, they call them mummies. Okay, so they are mummies. So when you open that mummy, you see another mummy. And then when you bring that mummy out of that mummy, you open it, you will see another one. So if you want the smallest of the mummies, you have to open each one. Each of the big ones, until you get to the last one, which is the smallest one, that you cannot break apart again. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what he's saying here. He says that now your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. Your what? Your true life. Don't be fooled. Hallelujah. This one that we are living, this one that we are on the earth, is not our true life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I was talking to somebody today, and the person wanted to be very naughty. He wanted to do something that would cause chaos. And I was like, you know what? Why are you not thinking positive things? That's what the scripture says. That's what I just said. That's what the scripture says. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are holy. He said, please, don't even talk to me without your touch mouth. Don't even talk with you. I said, no. I said, but you just told me that you understand the scriptures. So it can't be that it's my touch mouth, because that has to be the life that we live. Amen. Hallelujah. Because whatever you are saying, okay, should be whatever comes out of you should be defined by whoever you cling on to or you align with. Amen. So sometimes if you want to know, if you claim to be from a family or you claim to be from a town, don't let me say the town, so that won't cause problem. if you claim to be from a town, a particular town, there is a manner in which, there's always a peculiar manner in which they behave and a peculiar manner in which they talk. Okay? So where I grew up, if you want to know that this person is from where I grew up, you just hear funny things. Even when if you have a phone, for instance, and you keep it carelessly, and somebody steals it, they will tell you that it serves you right. That why would you keep your phone carelessly for somebody else to take it? So in that case, the thief will be exonerated. I say, you are the careless one. And I'm like, who does that? You understand what I'm saying? So usually, they will not castigate the person that's stolen. They will castigate the person that has lost something. Amen. Meanwhile, in some societies, they don't have shopkeepers. You just walk into the shop, look at this thing, it's $5. You put the $5 in the counter and you walk away. The person that holds the shop will come the following morning, count all these dollars and count everything that has been taken, and then he replenishes it and goes away to do some other thing. Amen. Now, he says your life is hid in God and then in Christ. Amen. So that if anybody is going to have to get to you, the person must first of all unravel God, and then when the person unravels God, he sees Christ, and then unravels Christ and sees you, that tiny mummy that I was describing. Amen. So if you are not in that position, or you don't see yourself in that position, you will forever think that you are exposed. Hallelujah. And you'll be living like somebody that is exposed, number one, and you have to take care of yourself. Amen. So if you feel like, oh, I'm vulnerable, I'm exposed, I have to take care of myself, you will never remember that you are in God and you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Next verse. He says, and as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed for you. Who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in glory. He says, and as Christ himself is seen for who he really is. Amen. You know, the Bible says that if they had known, they would not have crucified the who? They wouldn't have crucified him if they had known. That means that at the point he was giving up the ghost, it dawned on him that this is the Son of God. He says, I said, for and as Christ himself is seen for who he really is. Amen. And then he says, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. Hallelujah. In his glory. Now, what will be propelling you is the fact that you are being seen in his glory. Not that you are being seen according to who you are. Amen. So oftentimes, we have different skills. Some, let me just take a footballer for instance. A footballer, great skill, scores a lot of goals. Some of them stop people from scoring. You know, some footballers never score goals throughout their career. They are just there defending. I mean, some goalkeepers never score, and then some are just safe hands. And you know them for who they are. There was one particular World Cup. I think it was 1990 World Cup. And there was this keeper in Colombia. And he was manning the goalpost. It's very strange. You know what you call backflip? That you can, I don't even know. You can somersault to the back. Or you decide to somersault without holding anything. As I'm standing, I just turn like that. Okay. So this crucial match. And very tense match, okay? And then, sure all of you understand football. They want, those online, no problem. But this one, sure you understand football. That when they're approaching the goalpost, the keeper is supposed to try and stop the ball from going into the net, Abby, with his hands, right? So this particular game, it was tense. And the man was on the side that was under pressure. And the opponents came and they shot the ball. Oh my God. And instead of him to catch the ball with his hand, you know what he did? He did a flip and used the heel of his leg to stop the ball from going into the net without looking at the ball. The ball went past his head. He jumped up and used his the back heel to play it across. And everybody was in shock. Because, I mean, for him to have done that, he must have been too sure that he would not miss the ball. The ball had passed his head, though. Now, before the ball passed his head, he could have used his hand. But the guy just wanted to show that I have this skill. Huh? And then he did that. And everybody was furious. I mean, it was fantastic. Everyone, wow, this is fantastic. But it was too risky. Now, that guy, the next match, he wants to try something like that. Right? Because it will be like, this is who I am. Hallelujah. That's not how we are supposed to live our life. He's saying that Christ is seen for who he really is. So two things that is very critical. The first thing is that in Colossians 3 verse 1, it says the resurrection of Christ is ours. One. Then this one says that as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, it says who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in glory. Amen. Meaning that, it says, will also be revealed. Meaning that Christ has been revealed. Okay? Now, because you are in him, who you really are will also be revealed. Because he has been revealed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Christ has been revealed. Okay? Now, for you to be revealed, you have to be in him. Because he already has been revealed. So, whatever everybody knows about the revealed Christ is what applies to you as well. Amen. Go back to verse 1. It says here, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned, at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Amen. That's where he sits, at the place of all power, all honor, and all authority. Now, if this much has been revealed about Christ, he says this is where you are supposed to sit, where Christ sits. And then he says, if this much has been revealed about him, then it will also be revealed about you. Hallelujah. In the dispensation we have, verse 4, he says, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. Amen. So whatever pertains to you cannot be different and cannot be outside of the glory of Christ. Hallelujah. Are you flowing along? I hope I'm not leaving anybody behind. He says who you are, okay, will also be revealed, because now you are one with him in his glory. And that's why you cannot, and we do not, say that anything we do is by our own power and own might. Because verse 1 tells us that if anything, verse 1, it says that when we sit enthroned at the place of all power, that's where he sits, where there is all power, all honor, and all authority. So if truly you want to live a life of power, honor, and authority, it has to be a life that is hid in Christ who is in God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know that they say that life is a race. Abi? And life is actually a race. And the Bible actually tells us that we should run the race. Okay? Put in what? What's that verse again? That talks about the price. So life is actually a race. Now, what propels each person in this race is different. What propels each person? Somebody in life, what is propelling him is different from the next person. Okay? And you have to, that's why he says that you have to run your own race, the race that is set before you. Because that's the race that is set before you. The race that is set before Emmanuel or Toby is not the same race that is set before me. Hallelujah. Amen. The finish line is fine. Now, why would I say the race that is set before me is not the same race that is set before you or him? Amen. Because our paths in life will be different. The end point is the same. Okay? Everyone is the goal, Abby. Our paths in life will be different. Okay? And that's why when I'm doing something in any manner, or I'm following an instruction that is God-given, I don't expect Toby to do the same thing, because we are in different space of time at that particular point in time in relation to God. Now, when people are watching you, they will see you, let us assume that they see you on the field, on the tracks, and they see all of us as we are running. Now, everybody will just be jeering and be clapping and be clapping and clapping. Now, it's only the person that is running the race that knows what is propelling him. And let me tell you what I'm saying. So recently, we went to the tracks and we were watching children. They were running. And everybody had different skill sets. But then there was this particular race that was so different, okay? And it was so different, and it was very, what do you call it now? Very entertaining. So the person that received the batting last on the 4x100 relay leg, and he had about 10 meters gap from the person that was leading, actually eventually overtook the person that was leading and then won the race. And then after the race, so everybody just got up and was jeering. And then after the race, I said, and in the face of that person that was running, you could see the determination. It was determination we were seeing. Oh, this person is very determined. And the concentration on the face. That guy is very determined. And then after the race, I said, so why were you so determined? He came all the way from the back in the relay race with almost 10 meters gap with the person leading, or probably 15 meters gap. You overtook, and then he said, you see, I was not seeing the finish line, no. He said, before he went for the race, he had a conversation with his uncle. And then his uncle said, I'm going to give you 100,000 naira. Huh? He said, I'm going to give you 100,000 naira if you eventually get the best athlete for that competition. Now, that relay race was the last race for him to run, and then he'll be crowned the best athlete. Now, what was worrying him was not that crown of best athlete. It was the reward of that 100,000. So everything that was in his system was not what was worrying all the people on the fan bench. Everybody was just shouting, whoa, this is a fantastic runner. Said, all I was seeing. That's what he said, all I was seeing was the money. And what we were seeing was determination. Abi? So we said, wow, this is a very, very serious athlete. But lo and behold, the athlete was not as serious. It wasn't that serious, except for the fact that there was a price. Okay? A price beyond the price of coming first that everybody ordinarily will see. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, let's go to verse 5. So I'm saying that, so whatever race he said before everybody, what is propelling you to run your race will be totally different. Amen. The understanding of who you are should be what will be propelling you in this race of life. And verse 5 says, live as one who has died to every form of sexual sin and impurity. Live as one who has died to diseases and desires for forbidden things, including desire for wealth, which is the essence of idol worship. Verse 6, when you live in these vices, you ignite the anger of God against these acts of disobedience. That's how you once behaved, characterized by your evil deeds. But now it's time to eliminate them from your lives once and for all. Anger, fits of rage, and all forms of hatred, causing filthy speech. For and lying, lay aside all your old Adam self, which is masquerade and disguise. For you have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. Amen. Remember that we looked at 2 Corinthians 3:18 that talked about the fact that when you look at that mirror, okay, you are transformed into the image of God that you are seeing. Hallelujah. I said what happens in the natural is that when you look at the mirror, you go back to make sure that the mirror reflects what you want to look like. Abi? That's what happens. So if your eye line is not dark enough, some people will go and make it darker, and then they go to the mirror and say, this side is darker than this side, and then they begin to adjust, and it will take 1 hour and take 2 hours. You know? Hallelujah. So in case you have such people at home, the best thing is that don't get ready before them. Okay? You get ready when they say that they are ready. Hallelujah. You can't see me get up until I hear that I am ready. That's when I get up, because I know that in 5 minutes I'll catch up. Okay? Because when they say I'm ready, that's when they say that this line is not straight with this line, then they go back. Hallelujah. Amen. It says that in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, for we can draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who brightly reflects the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Let's go back to Colossians 3, where we're coming from. It says, for you have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. Hallelujah. You have this new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you. Amen. Meaning that, you know, when we look at 2 Corinthians 3, it was talking about the fact that you go step by step. 2 Corinthians 3, it was talking about that you go from one brighter level of glory to another brighter level. Hallelujah. Then Colossians 3 and in verse 10, it's talking about the fact that you are being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation. So if you are moving from one brighter level to another, okay, that likeness of God is becoming brighter and brighter. It's just like when the sun is coming up early in the morning behind the clouds, okay, and it's coming only until it gets to full day or a full-blown sun. Hallelujah. He says that that's how you are being renewed, and you are continually being renewed. So number one thing is that you locate yourself. This is where I am. And if you do not understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we do not understand what we have. Because it says the resurrection of Christ is also your resurrection too. Hallelujah. And then your life is hid in God and then in Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 11, it says, in this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference. Your ethnicity, education, economic status, they matter nothing. For it is Christ that means everything as he lives in every one of us. Amen. Meaning that what will dictate or determine your actions will not be a matter of ethnicity. You know, I was telling you before that when certain people gather, you can tell that all of these people are from this particular part of the country. When I was growing up, some people could not tell you, this me that you are looking at, they said I look like Igbo boy. So when my mother would take us to the market, they give my mother more discounts than normal. Okay? It's after they have given her the discount, because we meet those Igbo boys at the market. After they are giving her the discount, say, but I saw you, but this your boy look like Igbo boy. I start smiling. I don't know how they look like Igbo boy. So it's okay. No problem. But it says here that your nationality or ethnicity doesn't matter. What matters is that for it is Christ that means everything as he lives in every one of us. Amen. Christ means everything. If you are not able to understand Christ or to dissect the life of Christ, you will not understand why it should mean everything to you. Amen. Next. It says, you are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with the virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness towards all. Be gentle and humble and unoffendable in your patience with others. You know, when he was talking to us the other time, in the book of James, and that will be in the NKJV, book of James chapter 5 and verse 11, he says, the perseverance of Job made us to see the end intended by God. And what was that end? That is what? Is the Lord is compassionate and what? And merciful. Now go back to Colossians 3 where we are. It says, I think we're in verse 12. Yeah. He says, you are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with the virtues of God. The virtues of God. Since you have been divinely chosen to be holy, be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. Okay, whose attribute is that? James 5 says that this is the end intended by God, that he is merciful and what? And is compassionate. Now he says that be robed. Robe yourself with the virtues of God. And the first thing is that you have to be merciful. Amen. And says, be compassionate, showing kindness towards all. Hallelujah. Amen. Meaning that if you live with the virtues, robed with the virtues of God, you are going to be revealing God. Just like he talked about, I think it's in verse 11, that he talked about you will be transformed, be renewed, until you get to the full revelation of God. I think it's verse 11. Yeah. He says, which is continually being renewed. You have a new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. And then verse 12 goes further and says, one of these things is that if you clothe yourself with the virtues of God, then you will be compassionate and you'll be what? You'll be merciful. Amen. Because that's where you come out from. So it's difficult to see a wicked Christian. Amen. I mean, you can't even see a wicked Christian. Hallelujah. Because if once you see a wicked Christian, then that Christian is not living the life of God. Hallelujah. Except you don't say God is wicked, though. You know, some people say God is wicked. Now, why would you create hell and then send some people to hell? God did not send anybody to hell. Hallelujah. Amen. It's by choice. You know, he said, I've said before you life and death. Now choose. It was choice that they decided not to listen to him in the garden. And then Eve partook of the fruit. And then Adam came. The one that was giving the instruction also came and said, okay, if you say so, then let's have it. It was by choice. Amen. It's not God. Now, so he's saying here that if you are clothed by the virtues of God, then you will be, okay, your life will be like that of God. He says, you be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. Amen. Hallelujah. So you know what that means? That if somebody offends you or somebody trespasses, you try to understand. Why did he do that? Just look at it. Why did he do that? In other parlance, you will say that you give him the benefit of doubt. Why did you do that? Oh, if he knew better, he wouldn't have done that. And then you give him another trial. That's what he's saying. He says, be merciful. As you endeavor to understand others, be compassionate, showing kindness towards all. Amen. Whether they belong, in Galatians, it says that we should, in the book of Galatians, it talks about the fact that you should do good to all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. Amen. But they are saying that you will be compassionate towards all. Hallelujah. Amen. When you begin to understand that these are the things that are at your disposal because you are in God and in Christ. Amen. Then you are going to be living your life in that manner, conformed to who you are. Hallelujah. You know, the children that we say they are born of silver spoon, they always live like they are born of silver spoon. They always, 90% of them always live like they are born of silver. It's very rare. For them, you see a child that's born of silver, they are the ones that they will go on the internet and display the world that doesn't belong to them. It's when the owner of the world goes away that they will know that it does not belong to them. Hallelujah. Amen. Even when the person has written boldly that this is what I want you to do with my will after I've gone, or with my will, the family will say, no. We are the ones that brought him up. That's what they say now. If you have older siblings, say, is it not Toby? We are the ones that brought him up now. When he was busy running around, we are the ones taking care of what he was supposed to be doing. So he cannot now have all these things and say it's his own. Or now he said he now bequeathed it to one child. That's when problem comes. So then he will not say, no, we don't want to hear that one. We are his elder sibling. We brought him up. So we are going to be able to manage the money they did not make. They will help him manage it. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm saying that if we are, then it says you show kindness towards all. So if you begin to understand yourself, you will not engage yourself in unnecessary things. Hallelujah. You'll be too bothered about the fact, go back to verse 10. You'll be too bothered about the fact that this likeness, that the very likeness and image of God where you're created in, that it will be made to come to bear. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll be too bothered about that for you to be running around vices and all evil things around. Amen. Because like I told you that story, what will be propelling you will be the 100,000 naira that has been promised. Amen. Not that you want to entertain people on the fan stand. Entertaining them is the least of your problem. In your going for the price, they will be entertained. Because that's what Job did. He says, if you look at his perseverance, we are learning from that perseverance. Now, did Job intend that we learn from that perseverance? Not at all. What was he just doing? He was looking at the price and saying that, look, if this is God, then I'm going to stay with God. Right? So whatever he was doing becomes a learning point for us. His intention was not that we learn from him. Amen. His intention was not that we learn from him. What we finally get to understand is that, this is what God intended. That if you stay with me and you are unwavering in your staying with me, then when things look so bad and so terrible, I can always turn it around. Hallelujah. Verse 12. He says, be gentle and humble and unoffendable in your patience with others. He says, be gentle and humble, unoffendable. Amen. In your patience with others. You know, when I was talking to you about the fact that be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, it will cause, when you are trying to understand people, it will cause you to be patient. Okay? So he's saying that now, in this last sentence, he's saying that you will be offendable when you are being patient. Hallelujah. So if you are quick to, if you get offended easily, please understand that this is how you have been designed. To be unoffendable when even you are patient and you are humble. Because that's the way God is. And that's the image that you see. And how do we see that image? We see it in the scriptures. This is who God is. So when we open the scriptures, and we open it on a daily basis, he says in verse 11 or verse 10, he says, you are renewed to that likeness. Once you open that scripture, that's what comes before you. And that is how you are being renewed. So when you look at the mirror, you see what you are supposed to be, and you go back and align yourself to what you are seeing in the mirror. Hallelujah. Don't let it be the way we do it in the secular life. When you see the mirror, you don't like it, and then you go and conform, you go and change your image to conform, and then when you look at the mirror and say, yeah, this is what I want to look like. No. It says, this mirror that we are looking at, okay, we look at it, and then we conform to the image that we are seeing. So a merciful, a compassionate, and an offendable person is who God has designed you to be. Because it says that you robe yourself with the virtues of God. Since you have been divinely chosen to be holy, then you have to be that holy. Amen. Hallelujah. We rise to our feet. Verse 12 says, therefore, I'm reading the NKJV. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has complaints against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just talk to God. And I'm sure that your appetite has been, you have been able to whet your appetite. And two things I expect you to try to see. Understanding the resurrection of Christ. That this resurrection that is in Christ, that is Christ, is also yours. Hallelujah. And that you are in God and in Him. So for anybody to get to you, okay, he must first of all get to Jesus. And for anybody to get to Jesus, the person must get to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So you are too secured. And where you are, in that your security, you need to be living the life of the cocoon that is sheltering you. Hallelujah. Begin to conform. It says, robe yourself with the virtues of God. Because you are in Him and you are in Christ. Hallelujah. That's how you robe yourself. Living the life that you have been called to live. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Thank you for your word. Thank you because we are able to live our life. Thank you because we are able to live the life and the image that we see in the world, in the mirror. And as we see that image, we are living and we are conformed to it in Jesus' name. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Let your name be exalted, Lord God. In Jesus' name, we pray.